Hi, this is R. Renee with thetithinghoax.com. Let's talk about what the church doesn't want you to talk about today on the Tithing Hoax Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message. Some people love it, other people despise it. Some say it's biblical, others claim it's heresy. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel is one of the most controversial doctrines and or movements within Christianity, within modern Christianity. So today I want to take a closer look at the prosperity gospel, and more specifically in this episode of the Tithing Hoax Podcast, I want to explore, and I'm going to explore, six ways the prosperity gospel does more harm than good to the Christian believer. So first, let's look at what the prosperity gospel is. The prosperity gospel is a religious doctrine that says financial blessing is the will of God for Christians, and that faith, positive speech, and of course donations to Christian ministries in the form of tithes and offerings and sowing seeds will always increase one's material wealth. The prosperity gospel is also known as the word of faith. So, the prosperity gospel. God wants you financially blessed. God wants you rich. All you got to do is exercise your faith. Speak positive things over your finances, and tithe and sow seeds and give offerings, and you too can become materially wealthy or rich. Now, the prosperity gospel has been a mainstream staple of modern Christianity, especially American Christianity, or Christianity in America, really since the 80s. That's when it really exploded onto the scene. It had been around decades before, but it became an increasing part of mainstream Christianity in the 80s, and so it's been a staple of Christianity for the past 20 plus years. Now, there are a lot of things that can be said, and a lot of things that are said about the prosperity gospel. And so I'm going to put in my two cents and explore what I see as the things that do harm to the Christian believer, the things that the prosperity gospel, how it doesn't benefit the Christian believer. And one of the first ways that I observe, is that it externalizes your power. It externalizes your power. What do I mean by that? With religion in general, religion has a tendency to keep people looking outside of themselves for God. People are constantly looking elsewhere. God is always out there somewhere, right? And while God is omnipresent, meaning God is everywhere, I find that the one place people don't look for God is within themselves. Scripture makes it very clear that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is within you. And that's usually the last place people ever look, if they ever look, when they're looking for God, when they're seeking God for answers, when they're seeking God to help them make changes in their life. I mean, the fact is, part of the kingdom or component of God's kingdom or God's heaven within you are the talents and the gifts and the skills and abilities in which God has blessed you with. And it's through these talents and gifts and skills and abilities and whatnot that you're able to create the life that you want and deserve. You and God are co-creators. But what happens is a lot of times people find themselves in circumstances that they feel or they believe are out of their control. They really don't believe that they have the power to change their life and to improve their circumstances. So there's a sense of powerlessness that they possess. So we have a gospel such as the prosperity gospel that comes along. It's attractive to people who feel powerless, who don't believe or know that the kingdom of God, king of heaven, is within them, that God resides in them. So they will externalize this power because they don't recognize they have the power. So they are attracted to the pastor, and they're attracted to this message that says all you have to do is have faith and speak positive, and of course, you know, give your tithes and offerings and sow seeds to this pastor, to this ministry, and you will get your breakthroughs, you will get your miracles, and people believe that that's the only way that they can receive what God has for them. So they develop a kind of dependency on this doctrine. And when there's this dependency, there's also a certain level of passivity where people, because if you don't feel empowered, then you will be passive and you're waiting for God to do for you, when in reality, God has given you the power to do for yourself. And that is an aspect of Christianity that is not promoted through this or by this doctrine. And I'm going to tell you something. You cannot say you believe in God, yet not believe in yourself, because God is in you. So if you believe in God, then you believe in the God that's inside of you and the power that resides inside of you. But one of the shortcomings of the prosperity gospel is you externalize your power, or you don't recognize your power, and you just keep focusing once again on God to do something for you that God has empowered you to do for yourself. And all, not only are you externalizing your power, you are externalizing your finances. So you're not only giving away your power, but you're giving away your finances, but you're giving away your finances under false pretenses. So that's one of the issues I see, or the shortcomings of the prosperity gospel, is that it has people externalizing their power and not realizing that God has given them the power to create the life that they deserve and desire for themselves. Another shortcoming of the gospel, of the prosperity gospel, and how it does more harm than good to the Christian believer, is that it fosters a lottery mentality. A lottery mentality. And the lottery mentality is one that looks for a quick fix to one's problems, to one's finances. Millions of people, millions of Christians, are in financial situations that are undesirable to them. They are in debt. They're not earning the kind of income that they would like to earn. They're not earning the kind of income that supports the type of lifestyle that they either that they have currently or the type of lifestyle that they want to have. You have people who are getting up, going to jobs every day that they absolutely hate. So just like anyone who plays the lottery, a lot of people who play the lottery are in that same circumstance. And by buying the lottery ticket, by buying that scratch off, they're hoping and a wishing and even praying that by buying this lottery ticket, that they will be that one person that will win the big one, that will win that the millions and millions of dollars. They are led to believe that they can pay or buy their way into prosperity. And that's the lottery mentality. And that's why those who have criticized the prosperity gospel have characterized it as a Christian lottery. Through tithes, offerings, and sowing seeds, people believe that they essentially can buy or pay their way into prosperity, into riches, into wealth. That's a lottery mentality. And as a Christian, the scriptures tell you or teach you that you are to have the mind of Christ. A lottery mentality is not the same as the mind of Christ. Through Christ, all things are possible. As such, you don't have to rely on a quick fix. You don't have to buy your way into a prosperous place. With the mind of Christ and tapping into the mind of Christ, you can create, once again, the life that you truly desire. But as I said earlier, if you don't know your power, and you feel powerless, and you have taken on a spirit of dependency and passivity, and you have externalized your power, and you don't really recognize what God has instilled in you, you're going to look for a quick fix. So something like the prosperity gospel will appeal to you. You have the power. And you know something about lottery winners, people who do win the lottery. It's said that within 2 years they go broke. So they're right back where they started from. That's what happens when you have a lottery mentality. Because when you're looking for the quick fix and you're looking for a quick way to riches, if you get it quickly, you lose it quickly. You know why? Because the people have never mastered money. They lack money management. They lack good stewardship. They don't know how to take what they've won and they don't know how to flip it and multiply that into long-term income for themselves. So, like the prosperity gospel, it's the same thing. We see the same thing in the church. We see the same thing among Christians. A lot of Christian folk, they don't really understand finances. They don't have a mastery of money. And that brings me to, and part of that reason brings me to the third reason why the prosperity gospel does more harm than good to Christian believers, is that it promotes faith without the works. A lot of people think they have a money problem. Is it a money problem or is it a wisdom problem? In most instances, when people find themselves in dire financial problems or money problems, It is because they did not make wise choices or wise decisions when it came to money. When it came to making decisions that would affect them, that would affect their financial lifestyle. And see, with the prosperity gospel that promotes faith and exercising your faith, the works that they always talk about in terms of you applying works to your faith is the work that you need to do is pay your tithes in faith, give your offerings in faith, sow your seeds in faith, and that's where you get your financial breakthroughs and your miracles. I'm just like, no. The reality is, people need to make lifestyle changes. Paying tithes, giving offerings, and sowing seeds is not going to get it. People need to make lifestyle changes. You got to look at, how did you get into debt? Chances are there were choices that you made that got you in that situation. It's cause and effect. What caused you to get into debt? And whatever caused you to get into debt, then that's what you need to look at, and that's the thing you need to change in your life. Faith without works is dead. How long will it last if a person has a McDonald's budget, but they're trying to live a caviar lifestyle? Now, if you want to live a caviar lifestyle, then you need to generate income that will support that lifestyle. If you don't have the income to support that caviar lifestyle and you have a McDonald's budget, then you need to live within that budget. There are really like two lifestyle changes one needs to make to improve their financial circumstances. Either you increase your income or you decrease your spending. It's pretty much that simple. It's not always that easy, I suppose, but you increase your income or decrease your spending. You have to make those type of changes. And that's what I mean by, faith without works. Those are the kind of things that people need to put work into. They're not just tithing and just giving offerings and sowing seeds and think that's going to improve your financial well-being. No, you got to make lifestyle changes. You got to make wise decisions when it comes to your money. But, that's not something you often hear or I ever hear when folks are promoting the prosperity gospel. I don't hear them telling people, well, you need to increase your you need to live within your budget, need to live within your means, or you need to decrease your spending or increase your income by, maybe you need to get another job, and maybe you need to get more education, or maybe you need to acquire another skill. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. R-Renee here. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Tithing Hoax Podcast. For more information about the Tithing Hoax, visit thetithinghoax.com, download your free tithe study guide, or drop us an email at info@thetithinghoax.com. Until next time, peace and blessings.